here on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, Wednesday, July 21st, 2021, 15, coming up on 16 minutes past the hour. And I'm just going to tell you how good we are at this station. I just got some inside broadcasting information. Would you call that gossip, Glenn? Is it gossip or inside information?
Are you going to talk about what we...
No, don't even say it. Don't even say it. No, I'm going to tell you, we are so good here, we're not even going to mention it.
There you go. I like that.
No, because most stations would come on the air right now and just... Blah, 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 you know, but we're good like that. We're not. No, you know what I just wanted to... You know why I brought that up? Because I know the person who came in here and said that is listening in the car.
Yeah,
probably
yes.
Just had an accident. And he's going to say that on the air.
That was mean of you.
I know, wasn't it, though? No. You know how many things I've... If somebody says something off the record, that's a big thing in journalism.
Oh, it absolutely
is. You cannot betray that.
No, you shouldn't.
You can't. So,
well, you can, but you shouldn't.
You can, but you shouldn't. Yeah. So, best of luck. So, you'll hear about this soon.
Yeah, I'm sure you
from will. Other outlets.
Yeah.
Not us. Okay.
Well, maybe after the fact.
After it's done. Yeah, we'll talk about it after it's done. Okay. But here's what I did want to do this hour. I want to do some trivia, because that's always a lot of fun. But here's...
Why?
You don't like trivia?
Well, as long as it isn't too much. No. Go ahead.
Well, here's what I don't... really, I wanted to get back to your point, though, for one second. I'm glad you said that, because I don't think we finished it up before. Again, for everybody, voting rights are very important, and I'm all for people standing up for that cause and voting whatever way you want to vote. The problem is, if we start walking out of votes, we're never going to get anything done.
Because we aren't getting anything done now.
Well, I don't know. We've gotten three stimuluses passed.
Only because one party did it.
Well, but the president was Republican for one of those stimuluses, and or two of them, and he signed them. So, I mean, people do get things done.
Not very much. Okay.
I just disagree
with you. So.
Right, all I'm saying is I just don't know when we're ever going to be able to have the old 80-20 or 70-30 rule. If I can get 70% of what I want, then... Now it's all or nothing. All or nothing.
Right. Most of the stuff that we're struggling to get, that the Democratic Party is struggling to get through because the Republicans have said they will not pass anything, no matter what, most of that stuff is the population of the United States believes anywhere from 65 to 75% of it. They believe in the things that they're offering, but... I don't know.
I just can't believe, because here's what I liken it to, and I understand legislation is, it's a little bit apples and oranges, but if I am in, let's say I am the manager of something, and, but
you
I,
are.
Right, I'm the man, yeah. But okay, let's say that. Okay, manager of a radio station. Manager of a radio station. And let's say every time I did not like something somebody suggested, I just walked out. I said, well, you know what?
And there are managers that manage
right,
that way.
But how effective is that?
Well, I don't know. They're called autocrats, and there are an awful lot of autocrats right now.
Right, and I think that's bad.
I think too.
We've got to stop. And I've got to listen. Oh, why do you think that 90% of the time, even if I disagree, I'll tell you what, and again, I'm not going to say it because I don't want to down anybody, but years ago, there was a show on this station, which I thought was a horrible idea. Horrible idea. But two other people said it was going to be great, and I met with the person, and they said it was going to be great. So I said, okay. Give it a try. Let's see what happens. And I helped as much as I could. I helped promote it, even though I thought it was a bad idea. I talked with the person. I tried to help come up with ideas. I got in, even though I was against it. And it did go away. But I did not tell it to go away. It just went away because it was a bad idea. So that's how it should happen. I believe all bad ideas will fall on their own weight.
I think you're naive about that.
Well, I think it takes us a long time sometimes, and sometimes
yeah,
it doesn't.
Maybe that's a better answer. It just takes a long time to
right.
do that sometimes.
But I think being obstinate is how we get anger. Because then, oh no, I'm never going to do anything for this person. And, you know, it's got to be their way or the highway. And that doesn't work.
I've grown up, in as you know, in intercollegiate athletics. And that seems to be the way a lot of coaches operate. And I'll guarantee you, it doesn't make for harmony amongst the people.
Well, let me say this. Ohio State, since the 1950s, has had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 coaches.
At least, yeah.
And they've all, at one point or another, been winning coaches.
Mm-hmm.
They've all been fired.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's quit.
I worked for OU for 12 years, and we had about the same number of coaches in that 12 years, and they all got fired too. Now, the last one that I was involved with hiring stayed on quite a long time, and then Solich, who just retired, he came on, but I didn't have anything to do with Solich, but the gentleman, and I can't remember the gentleman's name before him. He was good, and he did stay on. And of the good big sport coaches that I knew, and I'm calling big sport basketball and football, of the best of those, most of them were empathetic to their athletes.
Well, that's just what I'm saying. I'm just saying that it didn't happen. It took a long time. They all had fairly decent tenures,
mm-hmm.
and they had winning tenures.
Mm-hmm.
But in the end, they were all told to go.
But one of them in particular lost to Michigan every year. So.
Well, and again, that led to his firing.
Yeah, it did.
But he also won a national game.
Yes, and he was a great coach.
Yeah, and then you've got, I think they all had winning records. I don't think losing records.
Absolutely, yes.
And yet, in the end, that Woody Hayes had a street named after him. He was fired.
Well, it doesn't help to punch somebody.
No, that was bad on national television.
Yeah.
He should have stayed down after that one.
Yeah, he should have.
But also, Jim Tressel got in trouble with the whole tattoos and selling your belongings. And now apparently that's okay. We've changed. Urban Meyer had his own little scandal there.
Now we want to pay him, so. That bothers me.
In the end, like I said, it might take a while, but things work as they should. You should not punch a player on television. So it does you in, and then you get Earl Bruce.
Well, the part of politics that is so frustrating is the grinding, because everybody has an axe to grind. Whether they're for or against something, they've got an axe to grind, and everybody thinks their idea is better than everybody else. So, and kind of depends on, right now, it kind of depends on how much money you can throw at the thing to get your will done, and that's frustrating to me.
No good decision was ever made with money.
But most decisions are made with money.
But they usually are your downfall.
Well, I hope so.
They are. It's very sad. I mean, I can't think of one case where somebody did something strictly for the money and it didn't, in the end, end badly.
I'd have to do a lot of thinking on that. I'm not even sure I would know the events that were done strictly for money. So.
Well, I know people who've been offered money to do things, and the people who didn't take the money and stayed where they were successful. You see this a lot in sports, in television, in radio.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you see it. And the money, that always sounds like a good idea in the beginning, but you realize in the end it doesn't turn out very good. And the first time you do something for the money and you realize things aren't going as they used to be, that's when you get the real problem.
I had a close friendship with a person that was exactly the opposite of that. Greg Gumbel and I were good friends in Chicago. Matter of fact, last time I saw Greg was, I don't know, 15, 20 years ago, but I saw him at an event, and I said, Greg, you probably don't remember. Of course I remember you, Glenn. You know, that type of thing. So he did remember. But Greg was one of those people, because he was losing his hair, and if you watch him on TV now, he's got lots of hair. And he also recommended me to Hairline Creations for Men. But he was a wonderful human being, is a wonderful human being. I won't say the same for his brother, but he is a wonderful human being.
You got a problem with Brian Gumbel?
Not a bad problem, because
what,
I don't know.
Do you have a Brian Gumbel story here that's bad?
I don't that I can tell.
Well, now, what did Brian do?
No, I can't. I really, because it would be something, it would be hearsay, so I'm not going to say it.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it's that bad. But Greg was a wonderful human being, kind. He did not do things for money. He did things for the positive image of what he was doing, and he got fired because he didn't, they had what they called a Q rating, and they'd bring in, you know, 40 women, and they'd sit them down and say, which, do you like this guy's face, do you like this guy's face, do you like that guy's mannerisms, do you like, and he failed, and now he's on national television doing a great job. I always liked Greg a lot. Anyway, he was kind of the opposite of that. He didn't do things for money. He did things for honor.
Well, without telling us what Brian Gumbel did in your hearsay story, what gives you the perception of him being bad?
His brother told me.
Oh, his brother told you the story?
Yeah.
Oh, well, then I don't know if that's hearsay.
Well, I'm not going to go. I'm not going to repeat it. But.
Well, I don't know. I've always heard that Brian Gumbel, the thing is that he does have a bad attitude. But then I know there are people who really do like him, and he has.
It's basically an attitude thing, and you know, there have been always for years there have been innuendos that say he was a womanizer, and I don't know that to be true. I do know one national public figure that I watched pick up lots of girls, but that's another story. So.
Now, you're allowed to pick up, though, aren't you?
Not if you're married.
Well, but that's not illegal.
Oh, no, it's not illegal, huh?
Was it Marv Albert?
I'm not going to tell you.
I bet it was Marv Albert. Wasn't it Marv Albert?
I don't know. I'll tell you it wasn't Marv Albert, because I don't know Marv Albert. I never got to meet him.
Well, Marv Albert, we know.
Marv Albert.
Yeah, who just retired recently.
Oh, did he?
I think he did. Okay. I think he did. Well, who was this guy?
I'm not going to tell you.
Was it a player?
I'm not going to tell you.
Was it a broadcaster?
It was an announcer, yes.
An announcer. Oh, a national announcer?
And he's nationally known right now.
Well, so. He's still around.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But I'm not going to tell you because I already cast dispersions upon
his
character.
Was it Bob Costas?
I'm not telling you.
I can't believe Bob Costas would be a womanizer.
I would love to meet Bob Costas. I've never met him.
So it's not Bob Costas. Oh, poor Bob. Well, see, here's the thing. I don't know any national announcers now.
Well, I will tell you after we're off the air.
Well, it's sad for our listeners out there. They're going, who is this guy?
I'm sorry. I'm not going to. Because, you know, it's.
Does his wife know?
Why? I don't know.
Are they still married?
I think they are.
Well, apparently she doesn't care.
Well, she must know because it was of national note at one point.
Oh, so we do know that he's a
womanizer.
Yeah. So what's the big problem here?
I don't want to further the nasty thoughts about people. I like thinking good things about people. Why? Even people that make mistakes.
Yeah, but I'm just trying to think. Who does anything nationally anymore? Who's a big name?
There are lots of big names that are national.
Well, don't tell me the but give me a name that's
I'm
big.
Not going to give you.
No, just a big national name.
You mean that I know?
Well, just somebody who is a big sports broadcaster still in it.
You know, I don't follow sports anymore.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't know anybody.
Yeah, I don't follow sports.
Well, you obviously know this person.
Steve Stone. I like Steve Stone. He's the color analyst for the White Sox.
Is he still working?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He's the best color analyst I've ever heard. He was a pitcher. And
yeah, well, I know Steve Stone, but I just don't know if he's not network.
Probably not, no.
No.
On MLB.
Yeah. So who is a national figure now who's doing these games on the networks. We used to know them all.
Yeah, that's true. It's kind of interesting. Well, Greg Gumbel is...
Is he still there?
Oh, yeah.
Who's he working for?
I don't know. Is it ABC or NBC? I don't know.
Well, I mean, it used to be Bob Costas.
Yeah.
It used to be Jim Nantz.
Bob Bender. Or not Bob Bender. Dick Bender. No.
Dick Ebersol.
No.
Dick Vitale.
Dick Vitale. I did have some associations with Dick.
Yeah, Dick Vitale.
He was kind of a funny person to be around.
Voice.
Yeah, yeah. But he was... the last time I saw Dick was we were down at in Cincinnati at a motel waiting for a game to start or something like that. And he hollers, "Hey, Coble, come over." So I went over there, and he told me about half a dozen dirty jokes. And we laughed.
In his voice?
Oh, yeah.
See, I would laugh just in
that
voice.
That's his real voice. And we talked, and that's the last time I've seen him telling me dirty jokes. But not filthy, filthy jokes.
We used to have John Madden.
Yeah.
Pat Summerall.
Yeah.
Howard Cosell.
Enberg.
Dick Enberg.
Dick, one day, that was kind of fun. Dick Enberg, he did one of our games when I was at DePaul, and couldn't figure out, it was snowing, couldn't figure out how to get from the horizon over to the motel. And my wife and I were staying at the motel. It was Christmas, and my wife and I were staying at a suite in the motel that the university had gotten for me because it was Christmas. And he didn't have a way to get over there, and it was probably about 5 or 6 blocks in the middle of a huge snowstorm. So we had an old K car. It wasn't old at the time, but we had 3 kids, and my wife and two kids, and my wife and myself, and there wasn't much room in that K-car, so he sat in the back seat and put one of my kids on his lap, and we drove in the snowstorm over, and we had a good laugh about it and had a good time. He was a really nice man, really is a nice man.
I think he's went on.
I don't know if he's...
I think he's gone.
Is he?
Dick Enberg and who was the other one?
Yeah, that was the one I just called Bob Bender, and that's wrong.
Yeah, well, there was a lot of...
Gary Bender? Was it Gary Bender?
Could have been.
Yeah, I think that's it.
But there were a lot... Frank Gifford?
Yeah, I never knew Frank.
No, but he was big.
Now, there have been a lot of tales about Frank Gifford.
Yeah.
None of which I can corroborate.
Well, the Inquirer did.
Yeah. Okay.
That's all you need to know.
That's all you need to know.
But I don't know who's left still doing these
games.
Who
are big? Yeah, well, the quarterback for Pittsburgh, the old quarterback, Stahlbach. Is that right?
Could be. I don't know. Apparently, he's not a big enough star
He's national, and there are a lot of national guys now, but they've come and gone since I was in that industry. You know, I've been out of that industry for 25 years, so I don't know any of them anymore.
They've all went on.
Not all of them, but most of them.
Yeah.
I keep seeing one pop up, and they're trying to relive their old days.
Well, it's nice.
Yeah.
Why not? What else do you have to do?
Yeah, that's the nice thing about being retired. I can come here and twice a week and rejuvenate my energy. And
rejuvenate the past.
You know, that's one of the things that I've talked with my wife about. You know, I semi-engineered Charlie's show for a year and got to know him pretty well and really like him. And I could tell when he came into the station, he'd sit down and look like all the air had fallen out of him. As soon as the mic went on, he was Johnny on the spot and perked up, and I just love seeing that in him. And you know, even after he had that terrible fall, he was bleeding all over the place. I was trying to help, and all I was doing was hurting. And once the mic went on, he went on and did his show perfectly. You know, I love that guy.
Well, it was an interesting time period, but a lot of people have that. You know, the microphone.
It does it for me.
Yeah, well, it's just a thing.
Yeah.
You know, I think you appreciate the audience, and you appreciate being able to have fun.
Yeah.
Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Glenn, the quarterback you're talking about is Terry Bradshaw.
Bradshaw, yeah, there you go. I'm sorry.
Staubach was Cowboys quarterback.
Yeah, and he doesn't do national television. Yeah,
so who are the big national people now?
Well, got Tony Romo.
Tony Romo. I never would have thought he became a national figure, but yeah, okay.
But he's
a good quarterback.
He does that good. I like him doing that.
Oh, when he was a quarterback, I saw him interviewed, and I never would have thought he would have fallen into doing national television, but apparently he does a good job.
So who do you think Glenn's person is here who has went out on their wife but is still broadcasting?
I have no idea.
That's a good man.
You don't know.
And I'm never going to tell.
Well, thanks for calling.
Yep.
Thanks a lot.
I don't know. I don't think there are any Nationals left.
Yeah. Terry Bradshaw, though, it does do every week, does that with five other guys, does that Sports Center thing.
He's good.
Yeah, he's fun. Yeah. I like listening to him because he keeps it light. Even when they're having big arguments on the set, he seems to find a way to lighten it up.
Well, I think that's the key.
Yeah, yeah.
You remember when they had Jimmy the Greek?
No, I didn't watch then.
Oh, I thought that was fascinating.
Oh, I didn't like watching him. Now, you got to understand.
He was from Ohio.
Was he really?
Cleveland.
I'll be
sure. Steubenville.
One of the things that, as a person who is a member of the College Sports Information Directors of America, one of the unwritten rules was we never got involved with anybody or anything that had to do with gambling. And so people like that I steered clear of.
Well, I don't necessarily know if he was legitimate.
I don't either.
No. He was a TV personality.
Yeah, I think more so than a real... Now, I have met some bookies. You can't avoid meeting bookies when you're in that business for any length of time. And I have met some rather shady agents. You can't avoid them either. I had one of them follow one of my players for 3 years that he was at my university, and fortunately he didn't get the contract with this young man. Anyway,
I just thought Jimmy the Greek was entertaining.
Yeah,
because
he was
clearly he had no broadcasting ability, but he was good. Go ahead, caller.
Well, I tell you who one of my favorite play-by-play commentators was, and I really missed him. In collegiate basketball was Dick Vitale.
Dick Vitale, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He was so energetic during basketball games that you could almost feel that he lost 5 pounds every game. Interestingly enough, I just saw him the other day on a Geico insurance commercial.
Did you really?
Huh. Yeah. And it's the first time I'd seen him since basically he'd retired doing play-by-play.
Well, no, Dick was... did several of the games that my teams were with, and we would get to the game about 2 hours before game time to get preparation, and Dick would be out in the audience handing out brochures for his other businesses.
I can believe that. Yeah. This Geico commercial, if you happen to see it,
I'm gonna have to look it up.
What the pretense was, but. He was trying to do the commercial, and they said, well, you know, high vitality and all that. Said, well, you don't need to do this because Geico is steady and all that. So he walks over and he picks up the container of Gatorade and dumps it on himself. And then says, too much?
I got to see that.
Great at collegiate basketball. I really enjoyed it.
He was interesting. Yeah,
I'm enjoying your banter. Bye-bye,
Fred.
See, I think that's entertaining.
Pouring Gatorade on yourself, I think that's hilarious. Yeah.
You know, I don't know, there's just something about somebody who you think wouldn't do something, it happening to
them. Yeah, well, that's what humor is all about, doing something that is unexpected.
The unexpected.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think certain people are very good together, and then you can tell when some people just hate each other.
Who would you say the best comedy group duo was?
Oh, back when they did duos?
Anytime, yeah.
Oh.
There are still people that do duos, not very many.
Not very many. I would say that probably on the whole, I would say the best ever was probably Laurel and Hardy.
Yeah. I'd find it really difficult to argue against that. But I always liked Jerry Lewis and Dean Martin.
Well, a lot of people say that. But they were the same thing. You know, it was...
Dean was just the alter ego. He was the straight guy.
Well, he was the cool guy.
Very funny.
And Jerry Lewis was this monkey.
Yeah, and he
was
a monkey.
It was.
Yeah.
But see, Laurel and Hardy, to me, they had some... there was some creativity there.
Oh, there was a lot of thought. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that went into that. And I think they were good that way. I think they're never considered a duo, but I think the Three Stooges did a lot of tremendous work.
Yeah, they did. Yeah. Now, in cartoon world, I like Rocky and Bullwinkle. There was always an adult thought process in that show. I loved it.
Go ahead, caller.
Hey, don't forget the Smothers Brothers.
Oh yeah, they were excellent.
Good.
Excellent.
They played off each other well, and of course, Tommy was a great straight guy for his brother. So yeah, I always think the Smothers Brothers are tops.
Very good.
Absolutely tops. Yep.
I like Tommy too because I played string bass. So.
Oh well, okay, that's a good reason. Okay. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Well, I also think that Alan and Rossi were very good.
Mm-hmm.
Marty Allen and Steve Rossi.
I probably think not as good as Abbott and Costello, though.
Well, Abbott and Costello were very good.
I liked those two. I liked... matter of fact, I'm going to go back and say I think Abbott and Costello were probably my favorite.
Laurel and Hardy, to me, it's just...
They were good.
There's something... You know, Laurel is so good at what he does.
Yeah. Well, you're not going to get very far in that business if you're not really good at it.
Well, the problem is once you get stuck in a duo, though, then
you're done. Yeah.
Yeah. I think the only ones who weren't were Martin and Lewis.
And it was really a bad breakup because everybody loved them as a duo, and they wanted to know why did it break up. You know, everybody was blaming either Dean Martin or they were blaming Jerry Lewis, and it was probably a combination of things. Now, my folk trio broke up over a dirty look.
A dirty look?
A dirty look. We were playing a gig, the lead singer, Joe, who is still a great friend, Joe gave me a dirty look. I took affront to it, and I... On the air, not on the air, but while the microphone was on, I said, if you ever look at me like that, I'm going to, and I used some expletive deletives of.
Was this on stage?
Yes, it was on stage. And that kind of was the beginning of our breakup, but we got back together so that we could be in the Army Field Band, which kept us out of Vietnam. There's a lot to be said for staying out of harm's way.
Now, do you think it was really about the dirty look, or do you think it was the response on stage?
When you're together, and we had been together probably at that time, we had been together since we were 14, and I think we had just been, and we practiced every day. We worked really hard at our craft. We were too young, too immature, and just got tired of each other.
Well, what do you think the dirty look was about?
I only remember saying that to him. I don't even remember what the dirty look was about, or even what it looked like.
But you wanted to kill it.
Yeah, I wanted to punch him in the face.
Well, you know, but see, I would have that conversation backstage.
Well, we should have. I should have.
Yeah.
But I was, by that time, I was 18 or 19. We'd been together 5 years, something like that. And it just didn't happen that way.
See, I'm just not, I think that at some level, on some level, you got to be professional, even if you really dislike what's going on.
When you're 18, you don't know what professional means.
Well, I don't know. I'm surprised that people who are 70 who don't know what professional means, because, you know, I've had instances with people where I can't believe they did something in front of a microphone or on stage, and I didn't like it, but I didn't bring it up till it was over.
Can you give us a general idea of what might have happened?
I'll
that sounds interesting.
Well, yeah. Well, I'll tell you. One time, you know, the show we do on Friday, mm-hmm. the Exchange Club show, yeah. has been on now for well over 10 years on many different stations.
Yeah.
And it was always made up of usually four or five people.
Right.
And it was a lot of times the same four or five people. Well, at one point, the four or five people were the same four or five people all the time. And I was pretty well producing that show, coming up with the topics, you know, getting the venue, and had talked to all of them privately about time to show up. I would do all that. So we get there one day, and, you know, there's always a little time before we got together to tape it. We sitting down, getting ready to tape the first show, and one of the people says, I just want to let everybody know that I'm leaving the show. I'm not leaving today.
Surprise!
Yeah. I'm not leaving today, and I'm not leaving. I'll do them for a month. I'll do three more tapings, but I'm leaving the show. Now, the fact that they did not pull me aside and say anything, I did not like. Because then we just went on like nothing had happened, and also I had no idea to say, you know, we were going to have a replacement, or we're going to do this, or we're going to do that. So I never said anything that day. I let it go, and we had a nice little thing at the end, and then I said, don't come back for the next three, off the air, because I thought coming back knowing this person is going to leave would drag down what we were doing. And also not give us a chance to try new people out in that position.
Would it have been better if this person had said, I've decided that I'm going to leave the show. I really hate doing it. I really love these people. I wish I could stay, but I've got extenuating circumstances.
If they had done it in private with me first, because they knew that I was booking the show, and they knew that I was choosing the people who were on that show. If they had done that in private, of course we would have told everybody else.
I wonder why a person would pick the opportunity live like that to do it. You would think they would do that because of shock effect. But
I sat through the whole taping, all five shows, because I knew we needed to get the five shows done,
mm-hmm.
and I never said anything about it, and I didn't even say anything about it as everybody was leaving. I just called them the next day, and I said, we don't need you the next 3 weeks, which is what they wanted to do.
Well, that's kind of dangerous for a person who's on a show with four or five different people to say they're going to quit. Because why would you need another person?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, all right. And what we ended up doing was we started having tryouts, and I think the second person in was great. And we said, let's make that person a regular.
Cool.
Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, I heard the reason why Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis broke up was Dean Martin was womanizer.
Oh, that's a surprise.
And it got to the point where, you know, Dean expected Jerry to, you know, cover for him.
Oh, yeah.
And Jerry got in too many positions. You know, he just couldn't. And Jerry Lewis, you know, didn't like that. You know, aspect. You know, if you got a woman, you got a woman. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It's hard to keep covering up for somebody else that's with lies because you can't remember the lie you told for him before.
Right. So that's the reason why I believe I heard that.
That's interesting.
Happened to Dean Martin, Jerry Lewis.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. Well,
that
thank
wouldn't
you.
Surprise me. Yeah.
Although I don't believe Jerry Lewis was a saint.
Oh, I doubt that he was. Yeah. Yeah.
No. If you are interested in anything, give us a buzz, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944.
None of us are saints, though. You know, I've gotten to be saintly since I turned 70. But before 70, I was a rogue.
Not saintly. Well, you know, there were many stories. Jerry Lewis took a lot of heat over the years for those MDA telethons.
Yeah.
That, you know, people thought it was very...
He got mad on the air occasionally.
He did.
Yeah.
But it was all because the criticism was saying, you know, you're using these kids to help your career, and even though the money is going for that cause, the telethon's named after you, and you're the star of the telethon, and you're using people. Mm-hmm. This is why I don't like charity in general, but public charity like that.
St. Jude's is a little different, though, with Danny Thomas.
I think so, but I don't ever remember Danny Thomas flat out going on and saying, give me money.
I think he was involved in some of that.
I think he was involved in the... But I don't remember him doing it that overtly.
Yeah.
I don't remember... And that's okay.
I think he did get on and say, we need your support.
You might need... Well, yeah. But I think that's different than other things. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, I was just going to throw this out there, but Jerry Lewis and Jimmy the Greek were neighbors and friends and when they were young.
Really?
So
I wonder if Jerry ever dropped a bet with him. I'm not sure that
Dean Martin. I'm sorry, Dean Martin.
Oh, Dean Martin. Okay. Yeah, they both were in Steubenville.
Yeah, and they were neighbors.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah. Now we're getting a police car going by right now, so they're going after him.
We're going after him. Okay. Thank you. Yeah, Dean Martin and Jimmy the Greek were both from Steubenville.
I didn't know that. Yeah.
Yeah. But no, I think that...
I knew that Dean Martin was. I didn't know.
I think charity should be more of a... You know, if you want to give, give. And just write a check. I mean, you know what the charities are now. You know what they do. I don't know that anybody needs to go out and front for a charity.
It's really hard to want to help a charity when you know they're only spending 30% of the money that they receive on the kids or the whatever the charity is, and 70% is going for the quote-unquote administration. And there are a lot of them like that.
I just don't understand when people thank people for their charity work. I mean, I don't necessarily know that's something that you should be thanked for. I think you did it. It's great you did it. And that's great.
It kind of depends on whether it was a solicited thank you or whether it just, you know, I can understand why people would say, you know, thank you so much for your donation to the St. Jude's, let's say, and drop it at that. But yeah, there are a lot of people that expect, I was thinking about this the other night, if I had won the lottery and had millions of dollars, would I want somebody to put my name, the Coble building, on some building so that my name would live forever, I guess? No, I don't. I don't think that's a proper thing to do. Now, if my name were Trump, maybe it would be different.
Well, here's the thing that I find fascinating. I think what you want to, because most of this happens with celebrities.
Yeah.
I think you want to be known in your profession. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
No, that's the how point. You make your living.
Right. Yeah. But when you're known for raising money, that has nothing really to do with your profession. You used your profession and your visibility because of it to help raise money, which is nice. And I think, you know, somebody should say thank you in private, and isn't that great? But what you want to be recognized is in your profession, I think.
I suppose I want to be, when I pass, I want to be known as somebody that was a good person. And I think a lot of people that donate money, you know, millionaires that donate money to causes and stuff like that, want to be known as a good person in their lives. They want you to think, oh, what a nice man, or oh, what a nice lady. That's not... When I'm gone, I hope somebody says your dad was a nice guy.
Well, I understand being recognized in your profession because they're not doing it. They're doing it because of things you did in your profession. The charity is probably doing it for money you raised.
Yeah, probably. No.
And I think that's a big, big difference.
Yeah. I won several awards through CROSITA for publications I did, and those, because nobody knew about it, those were some of the nicest things I ever won. You know, they really were, because my own profession was saying, "Hey, you did a good job."
Well, I mean, the one in Marion that is so interesting to me, and this is really the first time I ever thought about it, was Madge Cooper, mm-hmm. who was the first woman in broadcasting here, started in 1941. That's what she was known for. She worked in that field for 52 years. But when she left it, she had married a lawyer. She had quite a bit of money because of that. And she did get paid well for radio. I've seen the books. She got paid very well in her day for radio. And plus, she came from a family that owned farmland and stuff like that out in LaRue. And she lived to be 99. So after she retired from her broadcasting career, she donated a ton of money to Ohio State. She donated money to the Historical Society. She donated money to the Women's Club. And if you go to... But see, here's the interesting thing about Madge. She was never altogether comfortable with that when I got to know her in later years. That's why her name was Madge Cooper, and that's how people knew her. Her married name was Guthrie. Mm-hmm. If you go to Ohio State, it's the Guthrie Room, not the Madge Guthrie Room.
Oh,
she didn't
okay.
want that.
That's who it's named after.
Yeah, and
okay.
if you go to the Historical Society, it's the Guthrie General Store,
huh.
not the Madge Guthrie, not Madge Cooper. And I think that was by design. By her. But that wasn't what she wanted to be known for. Madge still liked to talk broadcasting. When I went and talked to her, she wanted to talk about who's at the station now, how's it run, I'm with Bob Mason. She used to say when she put the microphone down, it felt like somebody cut a piece of her arm off.
Yeah,
that's how much she loved it.
Yeah.
That was her love. And I remember when she went into the Broadcasting Hall of Fame at age 97, she told me that was the greatest day.
Yeah.
Not all the recognition for all the philanthropy that she got.
Yeah.
It was the broadcasting.
Well, you know, we have another lady in this town, Mary Ellen Withrow, who never looks, doesn't seem to ever look for any kind of attaboy stuff. She just keeps giving, and I love that lady. I've only known her a few years, and I'm really proud to say I know her, not just because she was the treasurer of the United States, but because of what a good heart she has.
But that's still what she's interested in.
Yeah.
I know she gives to causes, but she is if you talk to her, it's politics.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. And every time I've talked with her, it's because I wanted to talk to her about some political thing. Yeah.
Right, so it's interesting to me that most of these people really, I mean, Charlie raised a lot of money with those bikes across Ohio for cancer, raised a lot of money, and all the stuff, the peanut push
yeah.
was created for Christmas Clearinghouse.
Yeah.
What a great philanthropist. But Charlie, I know what he was most proud of. It was putting Lady Justice back on the courthouse. It was
yeah.
a broadcasting thing.
Yeah.
You know, so... And what did he do till a month before he died? Broadcast.
Yeah.
The biking trips had stopped. The peanut push he was no longer involved with. But what was he doing? What was the last thing he did professionally? He was on the air.
He was on the air, yeah.
So that's what I think, I mean, I think that's what you care about. You might get involved in philanthropic ideas, but what you want to be known is in your field.
What I want to be known is the best dad three kids ever had. I hope I can do that.
I'm
a long way away from it.
You always can read the article on the front page of the newspaper. I remember when Charlie died, it was legendary broadcaster. When Madge died, it was voice of Marion goes silent. Many years from now, when Mary Ellen, I'm still going to say former U.S. treasurer,
mm-hmm.
it's not philanthropist. But some people, it's philanthropist.
There are a few people that's what they do.
That's what they do.
Yeah.
And... not that that's bad, because
no.
we got to have them. We got to have them. But those people who made their bones, to say, in a field, I think that's nice. I think to them, that means more.
Yeah, I think you're probably right.
And you're coming up next with
yep.
Dr. Feynman, and then we've got Offbeat News and Trivia, Nate Redmond 4-5, and Trinity Baptist 6-7. For this day, Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
For the real God. I said, hey, man, there are some Negroes that deserve cancer, but I am not one of them. I said, if you need some help, if you're tired, you need 12 black folks, maybe, I'll put them on a piece. If you need some close to the house, I'll give you that, too. And then I looked at my body, and I said, cancer, I ain't never bothered you, and I dare you to bother me. I'm going to give you 72 hours to get out of my body. And if you're not, I'm going to roll on you.
The legendary newsman and former host of the Today Show, Hugh Downs.
So with only 3 minutes left and 25 days, you have a big birthday coming up on Valentine's Day.
Yeah.